Ever get into like one of those debates about a movie with a friend and you just realize like halfway through that you guys are using completely different scales?
Happens all the time.
Yeah, like my 8 out of 10 is there, like it was fine.
Yeah.
And it's like, how do you even, it
Exactly.
throws the whole conversation.
Yeah, it highlights, I think, a really fundamental flaw in how we use numerical ratings. We kind of treat them as these objective measures when in reality they're deeply personal.
Yeah, they're totally subjective. Those little star ratings, like we're all speaking different languages when it comes to that. And that's what makes this research paper we're diving into today so fascinating. It's called How Should We Aggregate Ratings? Accounting for Personal Rating Scales via Wasserstein-Berry Centers.
That's a mouthful.
I know it's a mouthful,
Yeah.
but stay with me here. It's basically about like how do we translate these different rating languages
Yeah.
into some kind of shared understanding?
Exactly. And, the paper really tackles this head on. Acknowledges that, like, just averaging ratings ignores how individuals might, like, interpret the scale itself.
So, like, instead of throwing those eights and twos in a blender, we need a more nuanced approach.
Yes. And that's where things get really interesting. Because the paper introduces this concept of optimal transport, which, it might sound a little intimidating at first, but it's actually, once you kind of wrap your head around it, it's fairly intuitive.
Okay, so unpack this for me. How does like optimal transport apply to something as subjective as movie ratings?
So imagine, you have two maps of the
Okay.
same city, right? But they're drawn to different scales. So one might have, like, a centimeter representing a block, the other one uses a centimeter for a mile. Optimal transport is like finding a way to kind of adjust those scales so that landmarks on both maps like line up perfectly.
So we're talking about aligning those different rating scales, those personal maps of what's a good movie versus a bad movie, so we can actually compare like apples to apples.
Exactly, yeah. And what they actually call that shared scale, the paper refers to that as the Wasserstein-Berry Center. Basically, what that represents is the average that minimizes the total like distance between those individual scales. So it's like finding a common ground for everybody's ratings.
Okay, I think I'm starting to see the light here a little bit.
Yeah.
But how do we actually put this into practice? Like, how do we use this Wasserstein-Berry Center?
Right. So the paper proposes what they call a two-step rating estimator, right?
Yeah.
So step one is we calculate this Wasserstein-Berry Center from everyone's ratings, right?
Yeah.
So we're kind of finding that common language that we were talking about. And then, and only then, do we actually average the ratings on this new, more meaningful scale.
So it's like we're finally leveling the playing field before declaring a winner.
Yes.
We're not just averaging numbers, we're understanding what those numbers actually mean to each person.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And what's really kind of wild is the paper actually goes through the steps to prove mathematically that this method is actually more accurate in reflecting like true preferences.
Whoa, that's impressive. So does this mean that like every average rating that we see online is like inherently flawed?
So not necessarily. There's an interesting caveat to this because, like, hypothetically speaking, if everyone ranked items like in the exact same order, just on different scales, then a simple average would actually work totally fine.
So in a perfect world where we all agree on what movies are good, bad, and ugly, then our current system wouldn't be so bad.
Exactly. But how often does that happen?
Yeah, let's be real. Never. Somebody always has to disagree about something, especially when it comes to movies.
Exactly. And that's why I think this research is so valuable, is because it actually provides us with the tools to handle these, like, messy real-world scenarios where people have different opinions and, more importantly, different ways of expressing those opinions through these ratings.
You know, this whole thing, it makes me think about like, you know how we use those simple averages to create like rankings?
Yeah.
Like those top 10 movies of all time and all that.
Right, top 10 lists. Yeah,
It
exactly.
always felt a little simplistic, you know?
It is.
Like taking something so subjective and just being like, here are the top 10. Like, who are you?
Yeah.
But what's interesting is this paper actually digs into that a little bit. It connects this whole idea of like rating scales to a statistical tool you might have heard of, Kendall's W.
Yeah, that's right.
Ringing any bells?
Yeah, Kendall's W. So that's a way to basically measure agreement in ranked lists. So, like those, like you were saying, those top 10 lists, it basically tells us how much overlap there is in how people are kind of ordering things, regardless of the actual, numerical ratings they're giving.
So it's less about like the specific numbers, it's more about like the relative positions.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. And what's I think really exciting here is the folks behind this paper. They basically propose that you can actually develop new statistics. Like you can build on ideas like Kendall's W to measure agreement, not just in terms of, you know, those ranked lists, but actually in the rating scales themselves. So you can actually see how much people agree, not just on like what the best movie is, but like what does a good movie even mean based on their scales.
That's fascinating. So it's like we're moving beyond just like fixing a broken system. We're talking about like building a whole new way of like understanding how we even measure these things to begin with.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really cool.
Exactly. And to kind of illustrate the power of this approach, they put it to the test. They took a real world data set of, get this, anime ratings from My Animalist.
Whoa, okay, you're speaking my language now.
There we go.
I've spent many an hour on My Animalist, like, you know, arguing in the forums about, you know, what makes a good anime. So what did they find? Like, did this optimal transport thing actually like hold up in the real world?
Yeah, so this is actually kind of interesting because the findings were a little bit surprising.
Mm-hmm.
When they applied their method to this massive data set of anime ratings, what they actually found is that people's individual rating scales were actually pretty similar.
Really? See, now that's counterintuitive to me because I feel like anime fans, like, you know, obviously I'm biased because I'm one of them, but they're so diverse in their tastes.
Yeah.
I would have thought the scales would be all over the place.
Right, right. You would think so.
Yeah.
But here's where it gets really interesting is, so the scales were very stellar, but the actual ratings themselves, so like which anime they preferred, varied a lot.
So it's like we're all speaking the same rating language, but we're telling very different stories with it.
That's a great way to put it, yeah. And I think that really highlights the power of this analysis is it's not enough to just look at the surface level of just those ratings. We need to dig deeper into the underlying preferences and how those preferences are actually being expressed.
Mm.
And that's, I think, what's really kind of cool about this research.
It really makes you think about like all those times you're on the internet and you're like looking at those star ratings for like, should I go to this restaurant or not?
Oh, yeah.
Or like, should I buy this thing on Amazon? Like, how much can we actually trust those little ratings?
It's everywhere. Mm-hmm. It really is. And it's not, you know, it's not just like entertainment or like consumer choices. You think about how like numerical ratings are used in like education, in healthcare, even in like evaluating people's job performance.
Mm.
Like the potential for those kind of personal scales to really influence how we interpret these things is huge.
Yeah, it's like kind of scary when you realize like how much we rely on them without even thinking. So knowing all this, are we just like doomed to forever misinterpret each other's ratings? Or is there a way to design systems that are like more resilient to these biases from the start?
Right. That's the million-dollar question. And I think, you know, while the paper, it really focuses on like, how do we improve how we analyze existing ratings? I think that this idea of like building more robust systems is really key. Like, you know, perhaps we could start to incorporate elements of like optimal transport directly into like the rating process itself.
Okay, now we're talking. So instead of just being like, give this 5 stars or 1 star, what if, like, before you even get to rate it, you're asked to rate a few benchmark items?
Yeah.
Like, things that are kind of generally agreed upon as, like, good or bad, just to kind of calibrate your ratings.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. So it's like, you know, if you're rating movies, maybe before you even get started, you're asked to rate, like, Citizen Kane or, like, The Room. And that way, the system can start to understand, like, okay, here's how this person interprets, like, the scale from 1 to 10.
It's like giving everyone a mini quiz before they can unleash their opinions on the world.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love it. Or, you know, another approach would be to think about like alternative rating systems altogether.
Right.
So instead of just relying on these numerical scales, maybe we incorporate like, you know, ranking elements, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where you're actually allowing users to directly compare like item A versus item B.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because it's like sometimes it's a lot easier to just say like, oh, I like this one more than this one versus trying to quantify like, how much do I like this on a scale of 1 to 10?
Right, exactly. And I think we also shouldn't, you know, underestimate the power of like, you know, more, you know, kind of nuanced feedback, right? Like those written reviews that you're mentioning earlier, like those can often provide like really important context for those numerical scores.
Yeah.
You know, they kind of give us a richer understanding of like, what are the individual preferences that are driving those ratings in the first place?
Yeah, it's all about like moving beyond those simplistic averages and like really embracing the beautiful complexity of how we evaluate the things that we interact with in the world.
Yeah. couldn't have said it better myself.
Yeah.
It's this has been a really interesting deep dive. You know, it's something that, you know, we often just kind of take for granted, those little scar ratings.
They seem everywhere.
They're everywhere. But, you know, as we've seen, there's a lot more there than meets the eye.
They hold hidden depths. Well, thanks for joining us for this deep dive into the surprisingly complex world of numerical ratings. Be sure to check out the show notes for more information on the research we discussed. Until next time, keep those minds curious.